All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome to the Box Score Breakdown Show, a HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Get some delicious coffee. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com or Amazon. My name is Adrian Benjamins, and I'm joined on this beautiful Monday evening by Corbin. Corbin, how are you doing, man?
I am doing just fine today, Adrian. Ready to get to some games. Got a lot of them, but aside from that, can't complain at all.
I you know, we didn't get to talk over the holiday. We both were busy with family stuff. I know you caught a bug. I actually got sick too over the holiday. But man, I'm happy to be back. It's 2020. We got a great slate of games to talk about. So I guess let's just dive right into it. Anything you want to touch on before we jump into these box scores?
Oh, no, I'm all set, Adrian. Let's get to the box scores. Break them down.
I love it. Let's get down to business, man. I'm going to start with, I think the first game of the day evening was the OKC Thunder taking on the Sixers. Not too much of a surprise, the Sixers getting the victory 120-113. I'm going to check out what went down on the Thunder side of this game. I'll start with Steven Adams. No Nerlens Noel. So Steven Adams, man, saw some extended, maybe some extended minutes, definitely some extended runs. So 24 points, 15 rebounds. That's a big double-double to go along with two blocks and assists. He was 6-8 from the line, 9-14 from the field. A pretty good game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a guy who a lot of people were disappointed because he was drafted high. So kind of got off to a shaky start, but he has been rock solid lately. 14 points from SGA with 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 of 13 from the field. He was 2 of 5 from the line. Chris Paul, who has just been outstanding on the year, 18 points for him, 6 assists, 8 boards, 4 threes, shot 6 of 16, 2 of 2 from the line, did have 4 turnovers, so the field goal percentage and the turnovers weren't great, but if you got Chris Paul, you got to be pretty happy with what he's been doing. Danilo Gallinari doing his thing, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal on 4 of 12 shooting. He had 3 threes with 7 of 9 from the line. Ferguson got the start, but he just had 6 points in 21 minutes. Off the bench, the guy, the best guy here is Dennis Schroeder, 21 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 3 on 8 of 15 shooting. He was also 4 of 7 from the line. Other than that, not too much to add. Again, Nerlens Noel is probably another guy on off the bench worth owning. He's dealing with an injury. I don't think it's serious. I'm thinking he's going to be back soon. But that's about it. That's about all I got. Corbin, what do you think of the Thunder?
You know what? I mean, they've been playing surprisingly well. I love the scrappiness, the defensive intensity that they bring. Even mucking up this game and kind of keeping it, you know, within striking distance for most of it. You've pretty much covered it pretty well, though. I don't really have too much to add, except that they're a very interesting team to watch.
Mm-hmm. What went down on the other side of this
game? All right. Yeah, definitely. So breaking it down, we'll start with the high score here for the 76ers, who've been playing well all season pretty much. That's Josh Richardson. 23 points in 37 minutes, 9 of 17 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal as far as defensive stats. He did have 5 fouls, but good game for him. Ben Simmons messed around and almost got himself a triple-double. In 38 minutes, he had 17 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. He didn't take a three, and you know what's funny? Brett Brown did comment on that, saying that he thinks he's failed, that, you know, he wanted Simmons to take more threes, and Simmons is basically just by his play outright rejected that idea. Joel Embiid, aside from a nasty dislocated finger he suffered late in the first, he still played. He had 18 points on 33 minutes, 7 of 17 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Really good passing the ball from him. He might miss the next game, I've seen on Twitter, so that's something to keep an eye on, just that dislocated finger, but really solid game from him. Al Horford in 34 minutes had 13 points and 6 of 10 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 rebounds and 4 assists. No defensive stats for him. Another guy with no defensive stats but decent scoring was Tobias Harris, who had 18 points in 22 minutes, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. As a team, the 76ers starters had almost 30 assists between all of them. So you had 16 between Embiid and Simmons alone. Really good passing. And then 4 each for Richardson, Harris, and Horford. So really good play by them. Off the bench, the high scorer was Trey Burke with 12 points in 16 minutes. 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 2 assists. Mike Scott had 8 points, 2 threes, and 2 rebounds in 20 minutes. And then Korkmaz, I don't even know how I tried that, 6 points in 19 minutes, 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3. James Ennis with a 3-pointer, a rebound, and a steal in 22 minutes. So not much off the bench. Starters put in work, and that's kind of the story for the Sixers.
Yeah, you nailed it. And love how you mentioned all those assists. I mean, how many 6 players in double figures for the Sixers? Just a real great team effort. And just one last thing I want to add. I saw that injury on Twitter, Embiid, his finger when he tweaked it. Oh, it looked gruesome, man. But from what I'm hearing, it was a clean dislocation, no fractures. So I think what happens when it's like that, they can like pop it back into place. I'm sure it's really painful, but the good news is when there's no fractures, no breaks, anything like that, hopefully he won't miss any extended time. I agree with you. You know, maybe he misses the next game, but I'm thinking no major time. So crisis averted if you got Joel Embiid on your team.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes. All right, let's keep rolling. So many games here tonight, Corbin. This is going to be a wild one. All right, next game I think was the Pacers taking on the Hornets. The Pacers getting the victory 115-104. I'm going to check out the Indiana side of this game. I'm going to start with TJ Warren, who had himself a game. 36 points to go along with a steal, a block, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. Now, didn't have any threes, which is a little disappointing, but he was a perfect 6-6 from the line and shot a pretty efficient 15 of 24 from the field. So, pretty great game from him. Miles Turner, pretty nice game as well. 15 points, the blocks. I just love the blocks. 3 blocks, 2 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 threes on 6 of 13 shooting from the field, 1 of 2 from the line. Domantas Sabonis is always good for double-double. This guy's like a double-double machine. 18 points, 12 boards, geez, and really filled it up all over. 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 7 of 11 from the field, 4-6 from the line. Now, I believe he did leave this game, or did leave this game briefly. I think it was a leg or ankle injury, but returned to the game. So no long-term concern or no, I mean, I'm guessing he probably doesn't even miss any time at all. Jeremy Lamb double-doubled, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Actually, pretty good game from him. 1-3 on 5 of 11 from the field. Aaron Holiday, who is filling in for Brogdon, he's been really solid. Tonight was not a good night, though. Only shot 1 of 7 for 3 points. Did have 2 steals and 5 assists and 2 rebounds, but a little bit of a letdown here in 27 minutes. He's been pretty good filling in that backcourt. Let's see. Off the bench, not really much to talk about. Brogdon's out for a little while. Oladipo, I don't know when we're going to see Victor Oladipo. Could still be a while. Corbin, what do you think of the Pacers?
I mean, you covered it pretty well. Great game by Warren, a classic TJ Warren game in high scoring, decent efficiency, no threes. Pretty sad to see that, but you named it. I mean, Sabonis has been playing well. The bench, not really too much there. A quintessential Pacers win.
Nice. What went down on the Hornets side of this game?
Okay, so we're going to get the worst shooting performance out the way first, but Thalby, he's been playing really well most of the year, solid rookie season, but PJ Washington did not have himself a night. 6 points in 32 minutes, not for lack of trying. He went 3 for 12 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. He did have 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. So, you know, at least he gave you something else there. But if you're looking for points, you were sorely disappointed. Devontae Graham had a great year, most improved player in my opinion. 22 points in 34 minutes, 7 of 15 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 6 assists for him. Starting alongside him in the backcourt, Terry Rozier, who had 28 points to lead the Hornets in 40 minutes, 8 of 17 from the field. He took 10 threes. He only made 3, but he was 9 of 9 from the free throw line to go along with the rebound and 6 assists and a steal. So pretty good game from him. Bismack Biyombo started at center, and all you need to know is that he had some rebounds, 7 to be exact, 2 points, 1 of 5 shooting, not super great there. Miles Bridges, 18 points in 35 minutes, 6 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. And that was pretty good for him. And then off the bench, not a whole lot except Cody Zeller, who was coming off in 23 minutes at 14 points, 6 of 10 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, no defensive stats. And honestly, that's really about it for the Hornets bench.
Yeah, you pretty much covered everything. Just want to add, I've got so many shares of Miles Bridges, and it's been a rough ride. In fact, in some roto leagues, I even just moved him to the bench because he was I think he was returning like value like in the 140, 150 range. So I actually, after I think he had a low-end double-double in the last one, decided to move him back in my lineup, and pretty happy to see this game here tonight. So my fingers are crossed that maybe he can get going for the second half of the season, because I had such high expectations for this guy, and he's been a letdown. Other than that, man, Devontae Graham, Bam, geez, he's just been outstanding. Some buzz that this guy could even make the All-Star team this year, which would be incredible as a rookie coming out of nowhere, Corbin. That would be like the craziest story to see him make the All-Star team. I don't know if that's going to happen, but just some buzz that I'm seeing about that. Okay, let's keep rolling here. The Boston Celtics at the Washington Wizards. This one was a shocker, man. The Wizards with no Bradley Beal, no Davis Bertans, no Thomas Bryant, no Mo Wagner, no Rui Hachimura, and they get the victory against a very good Celtics team, 99-94. So wow. I'm going to take a look at the Boston side of this game. I'm going to start with Jaylen Brown, who didn't shoot it great, was only 7 of 22, but still put up a nice double-double, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 threes, and was a perfect 7 of 7 for the line. So pretty nice game from him. Marcus Smart, who's getting a little boost with Kemba Walker out of the lineup. Smart looking good in this one. I love the 5 defensive stats with the 3 steals, 2 blocks. He also gave you 3 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 3 threes. Shooting wasn't too great, only 3 of 14 from the field, but I don't think you're complaining too much if you had Smart in your lineup. Gordon Hayward has been playing well recently. Double-double here, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, 1 3 on 4 of 11 shooting. Jason Tatum, it wasn't the greatest game from Tatum, only shot 8 of 20 for 17 points, but he's been rock solid on the season, and you're not worrying at all if you have Jason Tatum. 2 blocks, 2 assists, 1 rebound as well, 1-3. Daniel Theis starting at the center spot, but in 20, you know, even though he's starting, they still play Cantor and some other guys, so he's not really a standard league guy, but he had 8 points. Did have 2 steals, a block, which is nice. 2 assists, 7 boards, but tough to trust him. You know, off the bench, usually Cantor could flirt with a low-end double-double. Did have 11 rebounds, but only 4 points. Tough to trust in standard leagues. Pretty much all these guys off the bench, with the starters doing all the heavy lifting, really tough to trust any of these starters. Corbin, any thoughts on the Celtics?
No, not really. You covered them pretty thoroughly. The shooting night was not great for a few of them. I think that really did them in, but let's not take anything away from the Wizards. I'm ready to jump on them for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Isaac Bonga, we're going to start with him. Funny. Never thought I'd say that. 32 minutes, 10 points, 5 of 8 shooting from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 7 rebounds, 1 assist. Pretty solid game for him. Jordan McRae led the Wizards in shots, not efficiency. 8 of 24 from the field, 19 points in 38 minutes, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 3 blocks. So good defensive stats there from the young man. 4 good 19 points. Gary Payton started at point guard, had 3 assists and 7 rebounds. No points. 1 block, 1 steal, so great for him, but you weren't getting too much in offensive, and in fact, you weren't really getting anything. Isaiah Thomas, this was such a funky backcourt, who started alongside, had 17 points in 23 minutes, 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 3 assists, 1 rebound. You know, there was not really a whole lot of defensive stats from Isaiah Thomas, so we'll move on. Yam Mahimi, 4 points in 24 minutes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 4 massive blocks. So, good defensive game from him. The star of the show off the bench was Ish Smith. 31 minutes, he had 27 points and 12 of 18 shooting from the field. Took a couple threes, took 3 of them, made 1. 2 of 4 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Great for him. Troy Brown, in 36 monster minutes, had 15 points, 5 of 12 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds and 1 steal for him. And that was really it for the Wizards bench.
Man, you know, a lot of interesting pickups here from the Wizards with I have Wall in a bunch of spots. I'm starting to get a little worried with the Wizards being as bad as they are. Maybe they keep resting him. Maybe he keeps missing games. I think McCray definitely needs to be owned. He's already been swooped up in like all my leagues, but if he's still sitting there, man, this guy's had some really great games. Ish Smith, I feel like, has been hot. I'm not an Ish Smith believer, but I mean, I feel like you kind of got to pick him up as well. I like Troy Brown as a pickup. I've seen him floating on some on the wire in some leagues. With all the injuries here to the Wizards, I kind of feel like this guy needs to be rostered as well. So a lot of interesting pickups here from the Wizards. Now, as they do get healthy, when they get Mo Wagner back, Thomas Bryant could be just a week away. You know, Davis Bertans, then some of these pickups are likely going to just end up being guys that you're going to end up dropping. But until then, man, I think we got to jump on these guys.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is awesome right here, the way they're playing.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just the opportunity, you know, with so many guys hurt. Literally five of their main key players are out right now. We're seeing these guys who normally wouldn't even get minutes get an opportunity. They're making the most of it. So, all right, let's keep it going here. Let's jump over to the next game. The Brooklyn Nets at the Orlando Magic. The Magic getting the victory 101-89. I'm going to look in on the Nets side of this game first. I'll start with Joe Harris. 16 points, one block, two steals, two assists, three rebounds, three threes. We know he's always good for some trays. 6 of 11 for the field. This is a pretty good game from him. Spencer Dinwiddie, man, he's just killing his value. With Kyrie Irving, man, scary stuff for Kyrie Irving. I would be terrified if I had any shares of Kyrie Irving. It sounds like, you know, he got a cortisone shot, and if he doesn't react well to it after the next week or so, could opt for surgery, which, I mean, it could really be a lost season for Kyrie. So Spencer Dinwiddie, man, if you drafted him, you likely got a major deal on him because he's just destroying the value where he got drafted. 16 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 threes on 6 of 19 shooting from the field. You know, other than that, not too much from the starters. Temple only 9 points. Taurean Prince with only 6 points, did have 2 steals, 2 assists, 8 boards, 2 threes. Jared Allen, no double-double from him, which is a little disappointing. So, you know, kind of a rough game here. They really got handled by the Magic in this one. Even off the bench, not much to talk about. DeAndre Jordan, 4 points, 7 rebounds, but no blocks, no defensive stats from him. And then I really hope you guys aren't counting on any of these other fringy bench guys like Kurucs or, I mean, I don't even know. It's really ugly on the bench. Caris LeVert, kind of surprised to see him out in this one. I believe they have a back-to-back. I think they play tomorrow, so I think they're just kind of holding him out as a precaution because we did see LeVert return from his thumb injury over the weekend. So I think this is just, it's a back-to-back coming up, so they decided to hold him out for the front end of it. I think we see him back in the next one. Corbin, any thoughts on the Nets?
Not really. You kind of broke it down. It does feel like it could be a lost season just the way off of just speaking for Kyrie alone, but also the Nets have been kind of a rudderless team. They have, you know, strong pieces scattered here and there throughout the team. Spencer Dinwiddie's been playing well, but I mean, 16-19, they're kind of just kind of grasping at straws. I think really this year is to see what happens and wait for Durant and Irving next year.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. How did the Magic look on their side of the game?
You know what? They looked pretty decent considering Markelle Fultz, who he had himself a night, a season high, 25 points in 30 minutes, 11 of 20 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. He'll take it now a couple times here. Went to the free throw line once, knocked it down, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Good game for him. You know, that 4 assists to 4 turnovers, no one really counts that right now. He's been playing really well in that production, particularly from the offensive end, leading the Magic not only in shots attempted, but also in makes and in points. That's really, really good for him. Good to see that. Evan Fournier starting alongside him in 35 minutes. 11 points, 3 of 8 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 5 assists. That's good for him. No defensive stats. Nikola Vucevic did not have a great shooting night. 11 points to the tune of 3 of 12 shooting from the field in 31 minutes. He did knock down his only three, and he was 4 for 4 from the free throw line. But he came through with a massive 24-rebound night to go along with 4 assists as well. So that's kind of good. Makes up a little bit for that lackluster shooting and no defensive stats. When you have 24 rebounds and you can throw in 4 assists as well, you know, and you're in at least in double-figure scoring, you can't really get too mad at that. Wes Iwundu, 28 minutes, 12 points, 4-7 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 3-3 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Good little all-around game for him. Aaron Gordon, also not a great shooting night for him, but he did make up for it with a big rebound game, 11 points, 14 rebounds. He did go 5 of 10 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, 1 of 3 from the free throw line. I watched every one of his 3 attempts. None of them looked like they had a chance, so I feel kind of bad about that. But he did have 1 assist and 2 steals as well, so that's really good. And that rounds out the starting 5. Off the bench, not a whole lot, but you do have 2 double-figure scorers in DJ Augustine, who had an efficient 16 points in 28 minutes, 4-8 from the field, 2-4 from 3, got to the line for 9 free throw attempts, knocked 6 of those down, 4 rebounds and 6 assists. So good game for him. And then Terrence Ross, who had 10 points on 10 shots, 3 of 10 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds and 3 steals to go along with a block. And if you like some more, then let me give you some more Bamba. He had 5 points in 17 minutes, 2 of 4 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds and 1 block. So that really makes up for the Magic. Big game for Markelle Fultz. That really told the tale for the Orlando Magic here.
Yeah, man. I mean, Fultz taking 20 shots, which is significantly more than anybody else. I think the next closest person with Vucevic with 12. So the offensive usage for Fultz is just nice here. If, you know, Corbin, I made the mistake. I actually dropped Fultz in a bunch of spots at the very start of the year, and I am regretting it. And I think this could be a sign of things to come. I think Fultz could really see an uptick here in the second part of the season. So if you got Fultz, if you're able to pick him up, congratulations. I think he's going to be good. And then just want to add, you know, I'm a little interested to see anytime the Magic have been playing recently, can anyone step up with Jonathan Isaac being out for the next, 8 weeks at least? And, yeah. I mean, the answer really is not anyone. Windu's getting the start, but it's really low. And Kim Birch, no. And it's really just some of these guys like Aaron Gordon seeing an uptick in rebounds. He had 14 tonight. I think he was in double figures in the last one. So I think just a lot of the usage that Jonathan Isaac was getting is getting spread out on some of the other starters. And so not really a pickup with Jonathan Isaac going down. All right, let's keep it going. Corbin, this is a nice pace, man. We are rolling through this. We're like 24 minutes in, and we're already like halfway through. This is great. This is an awesome pace. Okay, the Denver Nuggets at the Atlanta Hawks. The Nuggets, not really a surprise. The Nuggets get the victory 123-115. I'm going to check out what went down on the Denver side of this ball game, and I'll start with Nikola Jokic, man, 47 points. I know at halftime he was at 27. You know, this guy just kind of trips me out that he can sometimes have a game where he only takes a couple shots, and then he has a game like today where he took 25 shots, but he really has been coming on strong after a slow start. So if you were able to buy low on Jokic, man, congratulations. I know that time has been long gone now. He's been solid. 47 points, 2 steals, a block, 5 assists, 8 boards, 4 threes, 16 of 25 from the field, 11 of 16 from the line. Just a beast in this one. Will Barton with a nice game. 28 points, a block, 5 assists, 9 boards, 3 threes on efficient 12 of 20 shooting. Perfect 101 from the line. It's a great game from him. Harris only had 4 points. A disappointing game for Gary Harris. Only shot 2 of 12 in 36 minutes and didn't really do too much else. 3 rebounds and assists. Jamal Murray, 16 points. Love the 8 assists, steal, block, 5 rebounds, 1-3 on 6 of 13 shooting. He was 3 of 4 from the line. Paul Millsap put up a dud in this one, 2 points, and was 0 of 3 in 24 minutes. Maybe had some foul trouble as well, because had four fouls and only played 24 minutes. Off the bench, Morris had 14 points, 2 assists, and 4 rebounds, but super hard with the Nuggets, one of these teams with that are really deep, have a lot of studs in their starting lineup, so really tough to rely on any bench guys. I know Jeremy Grant as well sometimes has a good game here and there, but he had 6 points in 22 minutes, so this is like one of those reasons why it's tough to play Jeremy Grant, because this is kind of his floor right here, which is pretty low. The other guy who's interesting is Porter, but he had 4 points, 2 blocks, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. I know a lot of people are excited about Porter. I think he had like 25 minutes and a really nice line last week, but this is one of the reasons why I shy away from him, because this team is just so deep. Nights like tonight where maybe he only gets 20 minutes or minutes in the high teens, if he's not, he only took 3 shots. You could really get a bad line from him on nights like this. Other than that, not too much else to talk about. What do you think of the Nuggets?
Oh, sorry. I had muted myself there to listen in, but I started rambling on. No, you nailed it. The one especially, I think they go as Nikola Jokic does, and he is such an enigma. You're right. He comes off with 47 points. Makes it look easy at times, on such high-volume scoring, getting to the line like a beast, passing like he normally does, getting some rebounds. And other nights, he seems content to just fade into the background. Unfortunately, the Nuggets have such a diversified team with a lot of talent on multiple ends that he can kind of get away with that. But you got to love when he is assertive like this and really takes charge. And you had good play from Monty Morris. You had good play from Will Barton especially. So it's just really good to see that. But aside from that, I can hop right onto the Hawks, who have been they've been playing. I can say that.
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to start with Vince Carter. No, I'm kidding. We're going to start with Trae Young, of course. He's been having himself a season. He's not been the best for the Atlanta Hawks, but Trae Young's been a bright spot there. 29 points, 8 of 12 from the field, 4 threes out of 5, went to the free throw line 9 for 9, 4 rebounds, 12 assists. He did have 7 turnovers, but that's one blemish in an otherwise stellar game for Mr. Young. Kevin Huerter had himself a nice game, 22 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 6 threes, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Good kind of a compliment there with his play. DeAndre Hunter, 16 points in 37 minutes, 5 of 11 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Bruno Fernando did not have himself a great game, 2 points in 10 minutes, 1 of 6 shooting to go along with 2 rebounds and an assist. John Collins in 28 minutes had 17 points, 6 of 15 from the field, 1-3 out of 6 tries, 4 of 5 at the free throw line, 5 rebounds and 3 assists to go along with 2 blocks. So that's really good for him. Main man off the bench, and I am saying that with big parentheses, would be Alex Len, who had 10 points in 21 minutes, 2 of 7 from the field, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Honestly, the bench has really been the Hawks' biggest struggle. Whenever Trae leaves the game, it is a nightmare. As such, there really isn't too much more to add, unfortunately, on the Hawks' side. Guess I could run through Cam Reddish, who had 7 points in 19 minutes, 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And, I already started with him, so I might as well finish with Vince Carter. First guy to play in 4 different decades in the NBA. He played 0 points in 18 minutes, 0 of 4 in every shot he took from 3. 2 rebounds, 2 assists. I don't really think you're running him on fantasy, but you know what? He is a legend, so you have to give him a shout-out.
Ridiculous that he's played in 4 different decades. That is just – it just blows my mind, man. Sorry. I saw there was something on Twitter that he was a teammate of Elijah Wan. Elijah Wan was drafted, I believe, in 1984, and now he's a teammate of Trae Young, who's just drafted, I think, in 2018 or 2017 or something like that. So it's just crazy how his career has spanned over such a long amount of time. Vince Carter, legend. One last thing, just want to add, Kevin Huerter if you stuck with him, I think he's officially arrived. It was a rocky start dealing with the injury stuff. Saw him dropping the wire. Heard people say, you know, that they didn't believe in him. This was an outstanding game for Kevin Huerter, and I think this is what we can hopefully expect from him going forward. That's it for the Hawks, man. You covered them great. I'm going to jump over to the next one, the Utah Jazz at the Pelicans. This one was a very close game. The Jazz squeaking out the victory, 128-126. I'll look in on the Jazz side of this game. Mike Conley's been out for a while, and with him out, Donovan Mitchell's been really nice in that backcourt. 19 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 threes, 7 of 18 shooting, but he was perfect 3-3 from the line. Joe Ingles has been in that starting lineup with Conley out, and Joe Ingles has been pretty good. 22 points, 2 steals, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 threes on 8 of 12 shooting from the field, 2-2 from the line. Joe Ingles, I saw hit the wire in a lot of leagues at that beginning part of the season. So if you scooped him up, you got to be pretty happy right now. Bojan Bogdanovic, 35 points, doing his thing. Not much else, though. Didn't really do any defensive stats. No rebounds, no assists, but did have 3 threes. Did shoot a perfect 10 of 10 from the line. So still a pretty good night from him, because helping you out at least in a few of these categories. And Royce O'Neal getting the start, but only 3 points. Only, man, this guy in 34 minutes took 2 shots. Corbin, I think if I played in an NBA game for 34 minutes, I would at least try to jack up, I don't know, 4 shots or 5 shots. So crazy that a guy can play 30, can start and play 34 minutes and take 2 shots. It just really shows not a big part of that offense, really no usage. Rudy Gobert, you know, even though he only had 9 points, kind of as you said earlier about Vucevic, when a guy gives you almost 20 rebounds, he had 19 here. Now, no defensive stats, which is a little disappointing. You're definitely hoping to get some blocks from Gobert. But, yeah, I'm in so many leagues where I'm hurting for boards. I just love getting 20 rebounds from a guy, and him getting 19 is nice. 4 of 10 from the field for him, but definitely the shooting wasn't there tonight from him. Off the bench, man, Jordan Clarkson's been interesting. Standard league, probably still not a standard league guy, but in deeper leagues, he's getting nice minutes off the bench. 25 here tonight. He had 16 points, a block, an assist, a rebound, 4 threes. So I think he could be a viable guy in deeper leagues. I'm talking maybe 14 team or deeper, maybe 12 if you got deep rosters. Let's see. Other than that, man, don't trust Moutier. Not much else to talk about here on this bench. And I think that's about it for the Jazz. Corbin, what do you think of Utah?
You know what? They're an interesting team. Had an uneven season so far. In this one, I think they just had more talent. You kind of broke it down pretty well. Bogdanović had a big night for them. And they've been paced with Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles, I mean, who's also had a really good night for him. So, not really much to add on that side, but I can run you over to the Pelicans and let you know when down there.
Yep.
All right, so we'll start with the guy I've been, as a Lakers fan, he'll always have a soft spot in my heart. He's been playing really well for the Pelicans. That'll be Brandon Ingram, who is shooting 48% from the field and 40% from three, which is great on a pretty decent volume. He had 35 points tonight to lead the Pelicans and basically tie with the Jazz for high honors on the scoring night. He was 12-26 from the field, 3-6 from 3, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Great for him. Lonzo Ball, he's had a couple of decent scoring nights now the last couple of games. 21 points and 8-14 shooting, 4-6 from 3. That's great. 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I'm not buying this sudden renaissance with the suddenly full box score, but it's really nice to see it if you have him, especially on some efficient scoring and decent volume. J.J. Redick, 23 points. 7 of 12 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 rebounds and 1 assist. And then Josh Hart, 3 of 7 shooting, 8 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And then I'm going to close out with Derek Favors, who had 9 points and 10 rebounds to go along with 2 assists in 29 minutes. So not uber great, but, you know, solid. Just short of a double-double for Mr. Favors. Off the bench, really not a whole lot. For the sake of time, just going to run down through Etwan Moore, who got 13 points. You were talking about people jacking up shots, Adrian. Etwan Moore was not afraid. 13 points on 14 shots, 5 of 14 from the field. Took 4 threes, missed every one, but he did have 7 rebounds and an assist. So, I mean, you can take that for what it's worth, but just know when Moore comes off the bench, he will get some shots up. Now, they might not go down, but he'll get them up. And aside from that, Jackson Hayes, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists in 19 minutes. But that's really all she wrote for the Pelicans. I mean, all their volume to me seemed to come up from their starting 5, 3 players in double figures. All of them were over 20 points. So that was pretty decent. But did you see anything, Adrian, from the Pelican side that you thought was interesting?
Man, you pretty much covered it all. I just want to note that Brandon Ingram has been ridiculous. And you mentioned it at the beginning, that how you got a soft spot for him. I do too. I'm a Laker fan as well, Corbin. And I was sad to see this guy go. I mean, I understand it had to happen for Anthony Davis. But man, Corbin, this guy's putting up first round value in 9 category leagues. He's currently sitting as player number 12 in total value for the season, and that is just ridiculous. I mean, we're 36 games into the season, so you know, this isn't like it's a 1 week fluke or a 2 week fluke. We're pretty deep into the season right now, and he's been outstanding. And then just one last thing I want to add, I think we're getting some reports that Zion is ramping up, maybe doing some 5-on-5 work, which usually means they're close. So, man, I would just love to see Zion return to the court. And another interesting thing, what does that mean for some of these guys like Brandon Ingram and whatnot? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, man, if I have Brandon Ingram, I think he's going to be solid no matter what, even if Zion comes back. Even if Ingram's numbers dipped just a little bit, he's still going to be outstanding, I think. So I'm not too worried about the effect that Zion will have on some of these guys. Corbin, any closing thoughts before we move over?
Oh, no, I'm all set. Let's keep it going. We're doing good here.
Dude, we are rolling, man. I'm not used to it. I mean, I'm not used to going this fast. This is awesome. the Milwaukee Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs is the next one. This one, man, a couple of big surprises tonight. This one, surprising for me, because the Bucks have been the best team in the East. They've been outstanding. Losing to the Spurs here, 126-104. I'm going to check out what went down on the Milwaukee side. You know I got to start with Greek Freak. Giannis Antetokounmpo flirting with that triple-double. 24 points, 12 boards, 8 assists. The defensive stats are nice. 3 steals, a block. Didn't hit a 3 tonight. Took 5 of them, but you could tell he really wants to add that element to his game. And we've seen him hit some outside shots lately. And so, man, if he can add that 3-pointer and be a consistent outside shooting, this guy is just going to be unstoppable. Not that he's not unstoppable already. 10 of 22 from the field for Giannis. Perfect 4-4 from the line. He's having a great season. Middleton with 15 points, 4 assists, 5 boards, 1-3. Shooting wasn't too great. 5 of 16 from the field for Middleton, 4-4 from the line. Wes Matthews getting the start. He had 12 points, a steal, a block, 2 assists, 1 rebound, 4 threes. This is kind of a Wes Matthews line. Eric Bledsoe disappointing in that he only had 8 points, only made 2 of 7, but did have a block, 5 assists, 1 rebound, 2 threes. But, you know, you kind of expect a little bit more from Bledsoe, but he'll be fine. Brooke Lopez only with 8 points, a block, 3 rebounds, 2 threes, 3 of 6 from the field for Brolo. Off the bench, they got some nice contribution from Dante DiVincenzo, 16 points, a steal, an assist, 4 rebounds, 2 threes. 6 of 12 from the field. DiVincenzo was a popular streaming guy when Bledsoe went down, but I've seen him hit the wires in a lot of leagues. I think in standard leagues, you can pretty much leave him there, but in deeper leagues, night like tonight is a reason why it's kind of nice to have him. Also can help you in steals. George Hill with 15 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. This is a pretty nice game from George Hill, but usually in just a 20-minute role, or if he's getting minutes in the high teens, his floor is pretty low if that shot's not falling. But this is a nice game from George Hill. Ilyasova's kind of turned back into a pumpkin. He was a guy I saw people streaming a few weeks ago when the Bucks had some injuries to the front court. But now that the Bucks are kind of healthy, Ilyasova's not really worth playing or rostering, and really none of these other bench guys. Let me just double check. I didn't miss any injuries or anything. Nope. Corbin, what do you think of the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think you covered it pretty well, particularly Giannis. And, you know, high volume three is not great from there, but at least he's trying to take that shot, and you can see he really, really wants that shot to be a part of his repertoire. So he may be force-feeding a little bit, but hey, I'd rather you take the threes and at least try to work through it than not take them at all. But you said the story that the Bucks, I mean, their threes just weren't really going down at the rate it normally does. 33% is not horrible, but when you compare it to the blistering 54% that the Spurs shot tonight, I don't really think they had a chance. From three, this is the Spurs' best game of the season easily, and I think it might hold true even if we're only, you know, 35, 40 games in, close to it almost. This was clearly their best shooting night, without a doubt, hands down. So I'm going to run through that real quick. Going to start with Brent Forbes, who 25 minutes, 6 points, 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. DeMar DeRozan, who played really well, 25 points in 33 minutes on an efficient 11 of 15 shooting. He took a 3. He also made it. 3 rebounds, 7 assists. Good game for him. DeJounte Murray, 26 minutes. He had 13 points, 5 of 11 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Good game for him. LaMarcus Aldridge, 17 points in 33 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And then Trey Lyles, who really had the one clunker of the game, starting for the Spurs, 6 points in 20 minutes, 2 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, 3 rebounds, 12 rebounds, so good for him. 1 assist and 1 steal as well. So that was really good to see. Combined, the Spurs starters hit 9 threes. That's really, really good. Especially from noted non-shooters from 3, such as DeRozan, or reluctant shooters from 3 like LaMarcus Aldridge. Really good to see that happen. To say nothing of DeJounte Murray going 3-4 from down there. Off the bench, Rudy Gay and Patty Mills were the story. Patty Mills first, 23 minutes, had 21 points, 6 of 10, all from 3. 3-3 from the free throw line, and that was really it, but that was what they needed to go along with one steal. Rudy Gay, 17 points in 25 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds and 1 assist. And then Lonnie Walker got some run, 8 points in 20 minutes, 3 of 6 from the field, 1 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, the team as a whole shot 19 for 35 from 3. There are several players here who had great nights from three. I would not expect that moving forward. That really feels like a blip and an aberration where shots were just going down against the best team in the East for sure, and arguably in the NBA as well. Actually, let's just Laker bias aside. Best team in the NBA right now. So really good to see those shots go down. But, I mean, there's a few players here. DeRozan, obviously. He only took one. But DeJounte Murray, LaMarcus Aldridge. It'd be nice if they're taking 2-3 threes a night and knocking down 2 of those. But usually that's not the case. So, you know, kind of settle down. And then Patty Mills, we know he's going to take threes and take them at a decent clip. But 6 of 10, that's great for him. Really good.
I'm really happy to see a DeJounte Murray starting and playing well. I know there was a lot of panic on him earlier in the season, but I think he's going to be fine, especially for the second half of the season. But, man, other than that, it's pretty tough. You know, it feels like they got some guys that should have better fantasy value, like Derek White, but, you know, stuck in this bench role. Lonnie Walker, I know a lot of people are excited about the potential of Lonnie Walker, but man, it's just, you know, coming off the bench in a reserve role, just not worth rostering in that role. Other than that, man, you covered everything. I'm not going to waste any time. Let's keep it going. Let's jump over to the next one, the Chicago Bulls at the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks getting the victory 118 to 110. Gonna check out the Chicago side of this game, and I'm gonna start to an injury to Carter, Wendell Carter. I believe he had an ankle injury in this game. And I'm going to say that an interesting guy to pick up if Wendell Carter is going to miss time. Now, I think the x-ray on Wendell Carter came back negative, so maybe we don't see Wendell Carter miss too much time. But the Bulls also notorious for being really safe, playing it really safe when it comes to injuries. So an interesting guy, they have a rookie center named Daniel Gafford. I think this guy could be interesting. He ended up playing 25 minutes off the bench, flirted with the double-double with 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. I think this guy could be worth an add if you're looking for a streamer. You need some big man help. Again, a double with blocks. Anybody who needs big man could use something like that. And interested to see in the next one if he moves in the starting lineup if Wendell Carter misses time. Lauri Markkanen, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal for Lauri. 4 threes on 10 of 18 shooting. That's pretty good. Zach LaVine, 20 points. 5 defensive stats from LaVine. That's nice. 3 steals, 2 blocks, 7 assists, 5 boards, 10 of 23 shooting. Chris Dunn, this line's not that great, but he has been serviceable recently. I've seen him put up some pretty good lines. Now, he likely definitely had some foul trouble, 5 fouls, so he saw 23 minutes, 6 points, a steal, 2 assists, 2 rebounds for him on 3 of 9 shooting. Let's see, off the bench, Thad Young played 28 minutes. That's nice minutes. And actually, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block. You know, I just talked about Daniel Gafford. Maybe Thad Young could actually be another guy to look to pick up if we hear that Wendell Carter is going to miss any time. So keep an eye on that situation. Well, let's see who gets the start between Gafford and Thad Young there. Let's see. Other than that, I got to mention Thomas Satoransky, 11 points, 14 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, 1-3. Now, the shooting wasn't too good, 3 of 12 from the field, but he was a perfect 4 of 4 from the line, and you got to love those 14 assists if you have Satoransky. Another, Corbin, I think I told you earlier, I dropped Fultz in a lot of leagues. Satoransky, another guy I dropped in a lot of leagues. It was like the first 3 weeks of the season, and Satoransky was like putting up like 7 points with 4 rebounds and 2 assists, and I was like, oh man, I want to. Like there were so many hot pickups to grab, and I was like, I tend to be a little too over aggressive with the ads at the beginning of the year, and because of that, I tend to drop guys maybe I should drop, and Satoransky was one of those guys. Other than that, not much else to talk about. Corbin, any thoughts on the Chicago Bulls?
No, you covered them pretty well. They're the Bulls, so not really too much there. That was a great breakdown. I feel for you, though. You didn't mention dropping Fultz. I did the exact same thing, and I didn't point that out in a few things, and I was smart ahead of the curve. Definitely eating that right now. Did not have Satoransky, but I do feel for you there, Adrian. But I'm going to run over to the Mavericks and get them over here. Got to start with the guy with the big game, which is, of course, Luka Doncic. 34 minutes, he had 38 points, 14 of 24 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Yes, sir, he stuck around, got a triple-double, 1 block as well, so that was nice. J.J. Barea, old man Barea, got the start, didn't do too much, 2 points in 15 minutes. He had a rebound, had an assist. Tim Hardaway came back from injury, didn't look like he missed too much of a beat. 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting in 22 minutes. Knocked down 3 threes, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal as well. Dorian Finney-Smith had 11 points in 37 minutes. 4 of 12 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then Dwight Powell, who had 16 points on a perfect 6 of 6 shooting in 30 minutes. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 1 assist for him. Off the bench, not really too much. Josh Jackson. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm thinking of him. I live in Arizona, so maybe, you know, the ghost of a draft pick's past is haunting me there. Justin Jackson, 11 points on 11 points on 4 of 11 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3. Not a super great night, 2 rebounds, and that's all, folks, for him. DeLon Wright, 9 points on 3-of-3 shooting, 2-of-2 from three, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Really solid game for him off the bench. Just giving you a little bit of everything. Can't really complain. Jalen Brunson, 5 points in 14 minutes, and had a three, had 3 rebounds, had 2 assists. Seth Curry, 4 points, horrible shooting night, 2-of-8 from the field, 0-of-6 from three in 21 minutes, 3 assists and 2 rebounds. And then to close out the bench, Maxi Kleba, 7 points in 27 minutes, 3-of-6 from the field, 1-of-4 from three, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And he's really the headliner for the Mavericks in terms of defensive stats, having a little bit of everything, the only player on the Mavericks to do that tonight.
Nice, man. You covered everything. Really nothing for me to add, it's just that, except that Luka Doncic is a monster, man. Just, this guy is just going to be a beast for seasons and seasons and seasons to come. And other than that, that's about all I got. Corbin, that was ridiculous, man. We just went through 8 games. There's one more game going. So I think I'm going to tackle that one solo later tonight. Corbin, I'm going to let you go, man. That was, dude, I feel like I got to have you on with me anytime there's a giant slate of games, because that would usually take me 2 hours to cover that many games. We're like at 52 minutes right now. That was ridiculous.
Oh, wow. That's all. Hey, it's a power team right there. I love being a help. I'm glad we could do it, man. That was awesome.
That was outstanding, man. So, hey, one last game, Warriors and Kings. I'll come back for that one. Little preview of that one, man. Rashawn Holmes left that one with a shoulder injury. Corbin, I'm freaking out. I've got I think I got Rashawn Holmes literally in every single league I play in. So I am going to cry myself to sleep if we hear that this Holmes injury is anything serious. I'm already seeing on Twitter that he's not expected to return to the game, and he's got an ice pack on his shoulder. So, my fingers are crossed that this is nothing serious. Corbin, man, thank you so much. Really great to talk to you after that long holiday. This was outstanding. Where can the listeners find you at?
Oh, at CorbinNBA. You can check me out there. I'll be proud on the Twitter sphere. Love the conversations there. And then also here at HoopBall, doing some stuff here. I'm doing some stuff with Brandon Marcus on the Clippers podcast. As a Lakers fan, it's been quite the experience, let me tell you. But, just having fun trying to ramp up some more content. So we'll see what happens. Thanks a lot, though, Adrian. That's always fun doing this with you.
Awesome, man. Corbin, great to talk to you. You guys, I'll be back for the Warriors and the Kings. Hello, I'm back for the final game of the evening. The Golden State Warriors taking on at the Sacramento Kings. The Kings getting the victory 111-98. I'm going to jump in on the Golden State Warriors side of the game first. I'll start with Glenn Robinson, who probably had the best game for the Warriors. 16 points, an assist, 5 boards, 1-3 on 7 of 13 shooting from the field. Lee crushed me tonight. I had him going on a bunch of I had him in my lineup in a bunch of spots, and he only shot 3 of 11 from the field for 8 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 5 rebounds, 1-3. And I'm going to stick with Lee. He's getting the minutes. The usage is there. I like that he gets you rebounds, and I'm going to stick with him. Another interesting guy that could be worth a pickup, I've seen him in a lot of spots, is Eric Pascal. 12 points, a steal, 1 assist, 4 rebounds on 5 of 9 shooting from the field. He was 2-4 from the line. With Draymond Green out in this one, no Looney, really should open things up for Pascal. I would expect that to be the trend in the second half of the season, them really resting a lot of their main guys down the stretch, guys like D'Angelo Russell as well. Let's see who else here. Willie Cauley-Stein, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. You know, even though the scoring really wasn't there, the 3 defensive stats are nice. 5 assists from Cauley-Stein is outstanding, 4 of 8 from the field for him. Bowman is getting the start here with no D'Angelo. He had 8 points, 3 steals, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Another guy that could be worth a look. here. The other interesting thing is I would expect them to make some kind of deal. Maybe Alec Burks. I think Glenn Robinson's another guy who's been rumored to maybe get traded here. Warriors need to do something to make room for Bowman and for Lee, who are on, I believe they're on two-way deals or short contracts, which are going to expire soon. Let's see, Spellman is another guy who's a little interesting. 13 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 6 rebounds. So, you know, the Warriors have a group of guys that are interesting streams in Pascal. I like Lee, Bowman, Spellman. Marquise Chris has shown that he can step up now and then as well. So I got a close eye on the Warriors. It's a little tough. It's a little ugly. You know, we don't know exactly how much time D'Angelo Russell or Draymond Green is going to miss, but again, I do expect these guys to sit a lot in the second half of the season. Okay, let's take a look at the Sacramento Kings side, and I'm going to start with the big story from the Kings, which I talked about on the show earlier, which is Rashawn Holmes left the game after 20 minutes with a shoulder injury. Saved his night tonight with the 3 defensive stats and assists, 4 rebounds, 7 points, was a perfect 1-on-1 from the line. He was 3-of-5 from the field. Man, I am holding my breath. I'm crossing my fingers. I've got Holmes in a lot of spots, and man, if it's going to crush me if he misses a lot of time. I'm really hoping that it's just maybe a few games or so, and that he comes back soon, man, because my fantasy teams really need him. Harrison Barnes was pretty good scoring-wise in this one. 18 points and 3 threes. He was a perfect 3-3 from the line on 6 of 12 shooting from the field. He also gave you a steal, 2 assists, and 4 boards. So a nice game from Barnes. Buddy Hield, 21 points, a steal, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 17 shooting. He was 3-5 from the line. Nemanja Bjelica flirting with the double-double, 8 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 threes for him. Some nice contribution off the bench. Trevor Ariza was really hot early and finished with a nice line. 18 points, 2 steals, 3 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 9 shooting. I don't know, maybe if Holmes is going to miss time, maybe Ariza can emerge with some streaming value. Harry Giles, another guy, interesting guy to keep an eye on if Holmes does miss any time. 4 points for him, 2 steals, 4 assists, 6 rebounds for Giles. And then, man, other than that, not much. Bogdanovich didn't play in this one. Bagley also has been out. Deadman has been a DNP CD, and curious to see if he gets moved. So definitely some interesting stuff here on the Sacramento Kings side. Let's see. Oh, man, I missed De'Aaron Fox. I almost completely just ended the show without talking about De'Aaron Fox. Probably, you know, the best fantasy guy on this roster right now. 21 points, a steal, a block, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 7 of 14 shooting from the field, 7 of 8 from the line. So fingers crossed that he can get going for the second half of the season, because, you know, missing the beginning of the year with an injury, and has just kind of, it's been a slow start for Fox, but I think he's coming around for sure. All right, you guys, I think that's about it. I want to, again, thank Corbin. It was really great. You know, really tough on these big game slate evenings where you're going like 9, 10 plus games. It's really hard to do this show without, I feel like sometimes these shows run, you know, over an hour and a half. So really great talking to Corbin, because he and I go through these games pretty quickly, which it's nice to keep it short. All right, you guys, thanks a lot for listening and for supporting the show. That's about it for me for the week. I'll be back on Sunday with Captain Kurt Beach. And hope you guys have a great week. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys later.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.